Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A proposed IRS agreement that protects speech in churches is now facing a challenge. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, you know, we've recently talked about this IRS agreement. The IRS has actually come out and agreed that churches have the right to speak about political candidates, about political issues, which obviously they're biblical issues. They have the freedom to do that because churches are like families. But now we still are waiting for a federal judge to adopt this proposed consent decree. And in the meantime, we've got an atheist organization that has come against the whole issue as well.
Yeah, so there's the lawsuit between the National Religious Broadcasters and two Baptist churches in Texas challenging the 1954 Johnson Amendment. And the defendant is the IRS. So that amendment prohibits tax-exempt organizations from participating in political campaigns. It's been used to silence churches, prominently the conservative churches, because the liberal churches have gotten away with it without having any repercussions.
And, you know, this follows suit because President Trump, during his first campaign, said that one of his promises was to eliminate the Johnson Amendment.
That's right. And so this lawsuit now has been in progress. It was filed in 2024, and the IRS and the other parties came to an agreement to enter into what's called a consent decree. That is, they agree to the language, they've now submitted it to a federal court to approve it, then it becomes a binding order. So that individual agreement now becomes a court enforceable order. And so that particular consent decree proposes that IRS would look at this 1954 Johnson Amendment as not prohibiting churches in the ordinary discussion of their activity from addressing issues such as political campaigns and people running for elective office, that would not violate the Johnson Amendment. But, and in fact, here's what it says, and this is just a portion of it. When a house of worship in good faith speaks to its congregants through its customary channels of communication on matters of faith in connection with religious services concerning electoral politics viewed through the lens of religious faith, it neither participates nor intervenes in a political campaign within the ordinary meaning of those words. It goes on to add additional language. It's a great consent decree, but it has to be approved. Now that it's waiting for the judge to approve it, as you said, Holly, Americans United for a Separation of Church and State, an anti-religious, frankly, atheist organization, has asked the court for permission to intervene in the case to oppose the agreement, and some others have ultimately asked to file amicus briefs to oppose this particular consent decree. Now, it's interesting because Americans United for Separation of Church and State, you would think that name, if they were true to it, would be on the side of this consent decree, because why would you want, if you're a separation of church and state person, why would you want the IRS monitoring churches and then punishing them for what they say?
Because it's an oxymoron.
Because it gets you right into the heart of churches.
Right.
That's the opposite of separation of church and state. That's the state running the church. That's the state prohibiting the pastor or someone from the pulpit from speaking certain words.
Well, you know, we said this, I've said this so many times during COVID. The government's purpose is not to control the church. The government's purpose is to protect the church. And here's an example: when you have a group that is wanting to muzzle the church, but yet the IRS, of all things, is saying no, they have the right. The consent decree said the IRS agreed to view endorsements of political candidates from the pulpit as private matters, not as a form of campaigning. The IRS said that if a house of worship endorsed a candidate to its congregants, the agency would view that not as campaigning, but as a private matter, like a family discussion concerning candidates.
Yeah. And that's really what it is.
Yes.
It's a family, right? The church is a family. It's the body of Christ. And you're communicating with your family. It may just be a bigger family, but what happened, you know, if you only had two people there or if you had 2,000 people there, what's the difference?
So this is the IRS agreeing.
And the IRS says that's just the same way as just sitting around communicating to family.
I think it's the first time I've ever said that. The IRS agrees with the church.
I know. The IRS agrees.
Sharing the gospel.
No, it's a great consent decree. And now you've got these people, and they're not separation of church and state people, despite their name, Americans United for Separation of Church and State. They are atheist organizations.
They are people
who hate the Lord, and they hate Christians, and they hate specifically evangelical Christians, people that take their faith seriously. So what they want is they want the government to actually punish churches if they have a family discussion about politics, about who's running for office. Now, you may say, well, the pastor shouldn't be speaking about politics. I disagree with that, but you know, you can have differences of opinion with that. I get it. But what we ought to all agree on is that the government should not tell the pastor what can be said from the pulpit.
But they're not political issues. They're biblical issues. And if you want to endorse someone who is adhering to those biblical issues, you should have the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and a biblical issue would be that the sanctity of human life. God created life, and it's precious.
Immigration, marriage.
And so you have somebody running for office, and you need to know what their positions are on, or do they align with biblical values or not? Should you support them or should you not support them? That's a conversation that you would have around a table. Why can't you have that in a church?
Mm-hmm.
A conversation where you communicate. But the Johnson Amendment since 1954 has been put there as a way to silence opposition. It started with Senator Lyndon B. Johnson, Baines Johnson, when he was running for Democratic primary as a senator in Texas, and the voting was tied, and they went through several counts, and it was tied. And then all of a sudden, a number of ballots showed up. In ballot box 13, they were all in alphabetical order, all in the same handwriting.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
And lo and behold, he won by 87 votes.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. We've heard about stolen elections before.
It's not the first
time. Nothing new, is it, Holly?
No.
And it really, we do now know that it was literally a stolen election and that the ballot box was stuffed. It's not hypothetical. It's not circumstantial. We know for a fact. So he gets into office, and he was opposed, by the way, by some nonprofit organizations. So to get back at them and to silence them, he proposes, let's silence them. If they speak out again on any kind of political issue, take a position on candidates, we'll revoke their tax-exempt status. And so that's where the Johnson Amendment came into being in 1954. It was there specifically as a vindictive reaction to silence opposition.
So he was a high-control person.
Yeah.
Not into free speech in America.
No, so before, from the founding of the country until 1954, there's been no problem. From 1954 to the present, within liberal churches that want to support liberal candidates, the IRS has turned a blind eye. Within conservative churches that want to speak about or support conservative candidates, well, the IRS or groups like the Americans United for Separation of Church and State, Freedom from Religion Foundation, and so forth, they've sent out letters. They've tried to threaten these pastors into silence. Oh, you better shut up, because if you don't, you'll lose your tax-exempt status.
Well, you know, I really appreciate our friends at the National Religious Broadcasters for initiating this lawsuit. And they've, of course, joined two Baptist churches in Texas to challenge this Johnson Amendment. And it's like long overdue, wouldn't you say?
It's long overdue. And so continue to pray for this case. We learned about the challenge. We were in contact with the parties of the case. And so Liberty Counsel has filed an amicus brief. By the way, I served on a commission 2011 to 2013 that was called by Senator Grassley. And that commission went for 2 years looking at the Johnson Amendment, among other things. And we came out with a report that's nearly 90 pages. We've attached it to our amicus brief with our lengthy article or arguments. And that particular report that was compiled by attorneys, pastors, and nonprofit leaders, experts around the country, recommended the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. So this is a good opportunity for us to get the IRS approval here, or from the judge, to have the judge approve it. We've asked for the judge to approve it. At the end of the day, we also need to support legislation that literally does repeal the Johnson Amendment, like we proposed in the commission going back in 2011, 2013. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.